The Lord be with you.
And with
you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. There's a technical word in Greek that I like to simplify by giving some analogies, and the word is metamorphosis. That's a big college word, okay? Metamorphosis. Another Greek word would be metanoia. So I'm going to talk about metamorphosis on a human level, then on a supernatural level. A thorn bush eventually will be transformed into a bouquet of roses. An ugly caterpillar, once transformed, can be turned into a monarch butterfly. After a torrential downpour of rain, you have a beautiful rainbow painted across the sky, as if God were an artist. One of my favorite, when as a kid I used to watch intellectual programs, The Three Stooges, Los Tres Chiflados in Espanol, and I used to watch Superman. You ever watch Superman? Remember in the 60s, no? One occasion I saw Superman. He flew to Africa and there was a fight between the explorers and the natives because the natives had stolen a diamond from their effigy, from their statue. So Superman went and he got a big piece of black, hard, cold, dirty, smelly coal. And he put that coal in his hand and he squeezed it. And you could see this white smoke emanating from his hand. And he opened up his hand. There was a beautiful diamond. And he placed that diamond in the effigy eye and there was peace. So coal, if you know your physics well, if it's placed under pressure, can be transformed into a beautiful diamond. So, if a caterpillar can be a butterfly, and a thorn bush can be a bouquet of roses, and a torrential downpour of rain can become a beautiful rainbow, and a piece of hard, dirty, smelly coal can be turned into a diamond, why can't God work miracles in the human person? Amen? And that's the topic for today. God is capable of transforming sinners into saints. Amen? And that's us. We're kind of like the caterpillar when we're born. We can be pretty thorny at times. And we can thunder and storm when we're in a bad mood, huh? And we can also be a very hard, cold, even smelly person. So if God can make transformations on a natural level, why can't He make these transformations on a supernatural level? Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we see on the feast day of Pentecost. And I'd like to highlight one person. His name is Simon Peter. Simon is the natural, the carnal. Peter is the metamorphosis, the transformation, the new person. So let's look at Peter in the Gospels and then look at Peter in the Acts of the Apostles. Doesn't seem to be the same person. Look at him in the Gospels. He's got moments of light, but moments of great weakness. He was able to walk on water, but then when he saw that big wave, he started to sink, didn't he? He was able to profess that Jesus is the Son of the living God on the way to Caesarea Philippi, huh? What a moment of illumination. But shortly after that, Jesus says that he's going to go to be crucified, and Peter takes Jesus apart and he starts to remonstrate with him, to rebuke and say, Lord, this is not going to happen to you. And Jesus called Peter Satan. How would you like it after Mass I greeted you and said, Hi, Satan. You'd call the bishop, wouldn't you, huh? So he had moments of great light, but also moments of great darkness. There at the Last Supper, Jesus says, The shepherd will be struck and the sheep will be scattered and you'll all leave me alone. Yeah. Peter Piper pipes up and he says, I won't do it. These other wimps, they'll give in, but I'm Peter. He's probably flexing his muscles, showing his tattoo that says, I love grandma, right? Yo amo mi abuelita, no? Okay. But Jesus says, before the cock crows, you will deny me. Can you finish it? What? Did it happen?
Yes.
That very night, before the cock crowed, he denied him three times. So we see in Peter moments of light, but also we see moments of great weakness. But then, once you get into the Acts of the Apostles, and I have a course in the Acts of the Apostles that we conclude today, once Peter has this Pentecost experience, he's radically transformed. He goes through a metamorphosis. Radical. Radical. But he had to go through a Pentecost experience. All of us have to go through a Pentecost experience. We have to go through a Pentecost experience, otherwise we're just going to be living on a natural level. We're not called to live on a natural level, we're called to live on a supernatural level. If we're baptized, if we're confirmed, we're married in the church, we're called to live on a supernatural level, not on a level of a dog or a cat or a hippopotamus. We're called to live on a supernatural level. But it's only going to come about if we have our own Pentecost experience. So that was as Jesus is ascending into heaven. What were the last words of Christ? Go out to all nations, teach them all I taught you, and baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you always until the end of the world. But they don't go out right away. Where do they go? They go to the upper room. It's called the cenacle. They spend 9 to 10 days. What happened in that cenacle? There was silence. There was fasting. There was prayer. And there was Mary. I repeat, there was silence. There was fasting. There was prayer. And there was Mary. So after 9 to 10 days of silence and fasting and prayer, there came the Holy Spirit in the form of a very powerful wind, almost like a tornado hit the house, but also fire. Fire descended upon them, tongues of fire descended upon them. And from that moment on, there was the metamorphosis, there was a transformation, and they would never go back to living in the flesh again. Never again. They were living in the Spirit. They are living in the Spirit. Look at Peter now. This is Acts chapter 2. Today you heard Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. The Acts Apostles will have 28 chapters. So Peter, who was there in that Pentecost experience, he got up and gave a homily. Do you know how many people were converted in that homily? 3,000 people were converted in one homily. If I could convert 2 or 3 of you, I'd be happy. Starting with myself, huh? 3,000 people! This church, packed to the gills 3 times, were converted in one homily. How could he do it? Because he had a Pentecost experience. Then we see Peter preaching and teaching and being whipped, thrown in jail, and he rejoices. And how does Peter end up his life? He ends up his life like Jesus. He was crucified upside down because he didn't feel that he was worthy to be crucified like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, how can we apply this to ourselves? All of us have to have a Pentecost experience. Otherwise, we're going to be living a pure natural life, a life of great mediocrity. Okay? A life of great mediocrity, as most Catholics today. We all have to pray today that we will have our own Pentecost experience. And we have to go back to the cenacle where they were. We have to have moments of silence. If you don't have moments of silence, how are you going to hear God's voice if you're never in silence? Impossible. You have to have moments of silence. But it's not a dead silence of a cemetery, a forest lawn. No. It's a silence that allows you to pray. To pray. You're never going to find a saint that didn't spend a long time in prayer. You're not going to find any saint in the Catholic Church that did not spend long periods of time in prayer. Then if we're praying, we're called to a life of penance, of fasting, of mortification, of sacrifice, of asceticism. And then we have to spend time with Mary. If we spend time with Mary, then Mary will facilitate the coming of the Holy Spirit. So, my friends, the Holy Spirit is not becoming weaker as time goes on, okay? He's not becoming weaker as time comes on. The Holy Spirit is just as powerful today as He was 2,000 years ago. So let's beg the Blessed Virgin Mary that through her prayers we would all have the Holy Spirit in our lives and that we would set the world on fire with the love of God. Amen.